The book of Jonah, Perek Dalet, the book of Jonah, chapter 4, the final chapter of this short but very, very profound sefer. The pasuk begins, Vayera el Yonah ro'o gedolo vayicharlo. Right? We just learned earlier. Jonah had this tremendous success in a very brief but powerful sermon. He was able to get not only the king, but the people, not only the people, but the young children, and not only the humans, but the animals, to do tshuva and to actually change their ways. Vayara lokim es ma'aseihem. They changed their deeds, they changed their actions. And one would think that Yonah would now celebrate. He gave a drasha and it was successful. But no, Yonah surprisingly is very upset, very troubled. Ro'o gedola. He's very, very troubled and angered. And he prays to God and says, Vayispalel al Hashem, Vayomer ono Hashem, halo ze devori. He said, God, I told you so. I told you so when I was back in the land of Israel, when I was back in Eretz Yisrael. Yosi al Admosi. And that's why I ran away to Tarshish in the first place, because I wanted to escape having to give this sermon, having to preach to the people of Nineveh. Because I knew, God, that you are a Kel Chanun v'rachum, Erech Apayim v'rav Chesed, that you, God, are merciful and full of grace and long-suffering, patient, and full of compassion. V'nichom al haro, you will easily forgive the evil of Nineveh. And I knew you were going to do this, and that's why I didn't want to do your mission, and that's why I ran away, and now, look at where we are. And therefore, Yonah says to God, Hashem, kach no es nafshi mimeni, take away my life. Ki tov mosi mechayai, I'd rather be dead than have to live and see this. Now, you read this, you're kind of stunned. I mean, Yonah knew full well what was going to happen. That's why he ran away. But, in Perek Gimel, he finally accepted the assignment, and he went to Nineveh, and he cried out to Nineveh. And he knew all along that God could very well forgive them. What's happening now that made him so, so very angry? What is happening? Well, what's happened different? Why is he so angry? This question is asked by all the Mefarshim. All the Mefarshim ask, Lama charalo, lama naflu panav, writes the Ababanel. What new has happened here? He knew this was going to happen. This was the conditions in which he accepted the Shainis assignment, the second assignment from God. Many answers are given to this. Ibn Ezra, Radak, and others say what troubled him is that Nineveh did tshuva. And Nineveh did tshuva, snap of the finger. The Jewish people did not do tshuva. Am Yisrael did not do tshuva. And now Yonah was afraid that this would reflect terribly on the Jewish people. Nineveh, these Gentiles, these idolaters, they could, because of a few words from a Jewish prophet, overturn their whole life. And the Jewish people, they've had many prophets, and not just 5-6 word speeches, but long drashos, parokim and parokim of tochacha, of rebuke, of musar, and they have not repented. They have not done tshuva. And this would be a kitrug, this would be a tremendous criticism against the Jewish people. And chas v'sholom, they would be punished even more. And Yonah was afraid of this. This is one approach. There are other approaches. There is a Meforesh called Rabbi Eliezer Mibalgantzi, a medieval commentator, who feels that Yonah didn't yet know that the people of Nineveh did tshuva. He gave his speech, he left Nineveh and sat, as we will soon see, in the suburbs or on the outskirts of the city, and was waiting to see what would be. He didn't even know that his speech would be so successful. And other approaches are also taken, including Rashi's approach, which is that Yonah was afraid that the Goyim would now say, Yonah, he's a Navi Sheker. He said that Nineveh would be overturned in 40 days, and behold, 40 days have passed, and nothing amiss has happened, so therefore this Yonah must be a liar, a Navi Sheker. So various approaches to this one problem. The pasuk continues, and God reacts to Yonah's complaint. Vayomer Hashem haheitev choroloch. This is a phrase which can be translated many, many ways. Some translate it, Vayomer Hashem haheitev choroloch. Are you now good and angry? You're really angry, huh? Heitev, really very, very angry? This is an approach taken by Ibn Ezra, or Radak. They offer several approaches, but they offer that approach too. There's another approach taken by a Mefarish, which the Ibn Ezra calls this Mefarish by the name of Yefes, and he says that Yefes said that God is saying to Yonah here, Haheitev Choroloch, are you angry because I did good? Are you angry because I saved people? That makes you angry? Ibn Ezra rejects that perush, but others adopt it. The Radak doesn't put it down, just says, doesn't criticize it, just quotes it. Im hatov shani oselohem choroloch, is the fact that I did good for these people of Nineveh, is that what makes you upset? And others too take that type of approach to the words here. Of course, if we understand it in the latter way, we understand why Yonah didn't answer. Later on we will see God criticizes Yonah and Yonah responds. Here, there's no response given. And if it's a question, are you now good and angry? Are you really angry? Yonah should say, yes, I'm really angry, as he says in a few psukim. But if it is Haheitev, is the fact that I did good angering you, this is more of a rhetorical question which doesn't call for an answer. It's interesting, there's an excellent sefer on the Haftoros by Rabbi Mendel Hirsch, who was the son of Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. And he wrote a book following very much his father's style on the Haftoros. So he has a commentary on Yonah, and he points out that if you look at the ta'amim, you look at the trop, you will see that here in Pasuk Dalet, there is a tipcha, a curving to the right, down and to the right, which is under the heitev. As if God is saying, haheitev, stop, choroloch, which would support this approach, haheitev. Is it that I did good that makes you so angry? Later, when God repeats the question, haheitev choroloch, then, at that point, it's a pasuk tes, it's written haheitev with a mercha, with a connecting trop, with a connecting musical notation, haheitev choroloch, which then could be translated, are you good and angry? But here it is, haheitev, is it the fact that I did good that makes you so angry? And of course, like so often on these psukim, there are other commentaries as well. The interesting thing is how Yonah reacts to this question or accusation or proclamation by God. He doesn't respond verbally, but rather, Vayetze Yonah min ho'ir, he picks himself up and leaves the city. Vayeshev mi kedem lo'ir, he sits down, sits himself down outside the city. Vayas lo shom sukkah, and there he makes a sukkah, a little hut. Vayeshev tachteho batzel, and he sits there in the shade of this hut, ad asher yireh ma yihyeh bo'ir, until he has the opportunity to see what will be in the city. And this is fascinating. Earlier in this book, in the book of Yonah, when Yonah is upset and troubled, he doesn't build a sukkah, get all active and leave the city and walk here and walk there and wait to see. Quite the contrary. He goes to sleep. He numbs himself. Here, he's not doing so. And there's a beautiful contrast which must be made. Because there's another person, like Yonah, before Yonah, but like him in a certain respect, who also wanted to run away from God, so to speak, and from his mission of prophecy and to die. And that person was Eliyahu HaNavi. And if you look back in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Psukim Dalet Tevov, in Melachim, the book of Kings, Kings 1, chapter 19, verses 4 to 6. And I encourage you, if you have a Tanakh in front of you, to look at these words. Interesting. Fuhu halach b'midbar derech yom. It's an interesting parallel to Yonah. Eliyahu Hanavi left the populated centers and went out into the wilderness, a day's march into the wilderness. Vayovo vayeshem, he went and he sat down, not under a hut, but tachas rosem echad, under a certain tree. Rosem is usually translated as a broom tree. A certain tree, a shade tree. Vayishal es nafsho lamus, and he asked to die, just like Yonah here says, I just wish I could die. And he said, Eliyahu said, Ravato Hashem kach nafshi ki lo tov anochi me'avosoi. God, take my life, I'm no good. But instead of building a hut and being active and waiting to see what was going to happen, Eliyahu did what Yonah first did. Vayishkav, Eliyahu lied down. Vayishan, and he went to sleep. Tachas rosem echad, under this tree. And the Malach had to wake him up and say, Kum echol. And then he woke up and he ate, etc. But after that, he went back to sleep. So Yonah originally, when faced with a puzzling crisis, went to sleep. Following Eliyahu HaNavi, went to sleep. Here, he doesn't go to sleep. He stays quite alert. Adashir Yireh, to see what's going to happen. And what happens is fascinating. Vayaman Hashem Elokim Kikoyon. God prepared a certain type of shade tree called the Kikoyon. What exactly is a Kikoyon? The Ibn Ezra writes, what difference does it make? It's a tree. And it's a tree which grows very quickly like a weed. And you could see God's hashgacha, God's providence, in the way this tree just comes out of nowhere and grows and gives people shade. Rashi simply says it's a shade tree. The Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, in the Perek Bameh Madlikin, lists various types of oils with reference to whether they can or cannot be used for Shabbos oil for the Shabbos candles, and mentions something called Shemen Kik. Reish Lakish in the Gemara there says that the Shemen Kik is made from the tree called the Kikayon. Kikayon Kik. And the Gemara has another Amora, Rabbi Bar Bachana there, who says that he actually saw this Kikayon tree, and it looks like a tzluliva, which is a type of willow tree which grows over the water, over the rivers, over the streams, and which has broad leaves. Be that as it may, God prepared this tree. And it grew out of nowhere, instantly. This kikayon, this shade, gave Yonah shade to save him, to rescue him from his plight. Yonah was happy, a great happiness. Just like before he was troubled, a great trouble. Now his tree grew and he's happy, a simcha gedola. And all the mefarshim here are all over this pasuk. First of all, why did Yonah need a kikayon? He had the sukkah. And there are various answers given. The sukkah had insufficient shade. All sorts of answers. But the question, of course, is still there. He needed double shade. Another question, of course, obviously, is how was this matzil? Lahatzil lo me'ra'aso? Yonah wasn't troubled, as far as we know, at this point. Later we'll see, the sun started to really burn. But at this point, he had a shade over his head. That wasn't his ra'a gadola. That wasn't why he was so distraught. He was distraught because Nineveh was saved. And for whatever reason, he'd be accused of being a Navi Sheker, the Jewish people were not as good as Nineveh, etc. That was his trouble. How does his kikayon answer that problem? And what is the simcha gedola? All right, simcha we understand, but a simcha gedola about a kikayon? Again, there are many, many answers given. The Radak and the Ibn Ezra suggest that, you know, he was especially sensitive, Yonah, to the sun. And the sukkah was not sufficient. Why was he sensitive to the sun? The Ibn Ezra suggests because having spent so much time in the belly of a fish, his flesh became very soft and wasn't able to resist the rays of the sun. He couldn't take the heat. The Mahari Karo says that it could be having been immersed in the sea, his body lost some of the chemicals that would protect normal people from the sun, and therefore he was especially sensitive to the sun. Now, Barbanel has another approach, that he suffered from kadachas, from some type of malaria, and therefore he needed as much protection from the sun as possible, and that's why he had a simcha gadola. Various approaches. So here he is, he's happy. He's got the sukkah, he's got the kikayon, and he's happy as a lark. Simcha gadola. But, Vayamanu Elokim Talas, the same God who in Pasuk Vav, Vayaman, prepared with great specificity, with great providence, prepared this kikayon, now prepares the undoing of the kikayon, and prepares a tola'ah, some type of a worm, the next day, next morning, vatach es hakikayon, the worm struck, bit this kikayon tree, vayivash, and the whole tree withered and was gone. Vayihi kizroach hashemesh, and then the sun came out, and for a third time, vayaman Elokim, God, again, prepared with great specificity, with great providence, he prepared the kikayon a plus. He prepared the tola'as a minus. And now he prepares a ruach kodim charishis, an east wind, a chamsin, a hot wind. Vatach hashemesh al rosh Yonah. And now the sun was beating down upon Yonah vayisalof. He became unconscious. He became faint and weak from sunstroke. Vayishalas nafshol amus. And again he asked to die. Vayomer tov mosi mechayai. And he says, God, it would be better for me to die than to live. Again, God says to Yonah, Vayomer Elokim el Yonah, haheitev chor alecho al hakikayon. Are you good and angry about this kikayon having been withered and died? Vayomer, and here Yonah answers and says, you bet. Heitev chor oli ad moves. I am very angry at the point of wishing to die. And then God gives his argument. And this is the most powerful, the last two psukim, but really powerful. Vayomer Hashem, God says to Yonah, you're upset about this kikayon, which is some type of a weed tree. Atoch hasto al hakikayon ashelo amalto bo. Did you work for this kikayon? It came out of nowhere. You didn't lift your finger for it. And you're upset that you lost it. Velo gidalto, you didn't raise it. Shebin laila hayov and laila avad. This tree sprung up overnight and overnight disappeared. It's a nothing. It's an ephemeral phenomenon. It comes and goes. It's nothing. Nothing of your hard work. And you are so upset that you're ready to die already. And you're asking me not to have mercy on Nineveh? Ba'ani lo achus al Nineveh hu'ir ha'gadolo. You want me not to work? Sorry, not to have compassion on the great city of Nineveh? Asher yesh bo harbe mishteim esrei ribo adam, which has 12 times 10,000 people. Asher lo yoda benyamino, the smaller people who never don't know the difference between their right and their left, innocent people, uvehemo rabba, and many animals. God has rachamov al koma, so he has pity on the animals as well. End of the story. And of course, the story leaves us in many, many ways hanging. And one of the questions, there are many questions, but one of the questions that the Mefarshim ask here is, why on earth, Barbanel asks this, why on earth did the Pasuk say that God has mercy on Nineveh because it's a big city and it's a big city? He should have said, wait a second, Yonah, Nineveh did tshuva. The people of Nineveh fasted, sackcloth, sat in the ashes, changed their deeds. That's why I have pity on them. God doesn't say that. God says, I have mercy on them because Nebuchadnezzar, they're innocent people and, you know, it's a big city and, you know, I'm a merciful God. What's the business of merciful God? And what difference does it make how many people there are? The Barbanel puts it, Ha'im niftiru anshei dor ha'mabul b'pnei rov ha'na'orim v'ha'behemo sh'hoi Elohim. In the time of the flood, in Noah's time, there were more than 1,200,000 people. And they were destroyed, even though there were many children and innocent people and many animals, and they all perished. Or, asked the Barbanel, stone v'amora, and even Eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. There were millions of Jews in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. They were punished because they didn't do tshuva. So the reason should be given here, not because there are so many, but because they did not do tshuva. Again, many answers to this question. But following the Abarbanel, this is his answer. For you, Yonah, you think that this kikayon is something that you want to be proud of. Oh, wow, it's terrific. I have a kikayon. It's my shade tree. And you're willing to feel upset if you lose this. What you have to understand, Yonah, is that this town of Nineveh, this city, this metropolis of Nineveh, is a source for my kavod, for my glory. In the words of Abarbanel, Echim kein ani lo ochus al Nineveh shehi gedola umaase yodaili hispoer ubinyan gadol v'yatsum lo kikayon. This Nineveh is part of God's glory. It's part of God's action, part of God's creation. People, human beings, even Assyrians, populating Nineveh, which is a city which was once doing evil, these are God's creatures, and they're part of God's glory. You were upset about the kikayon, not because it was such a beautiful kikayon and was such a wonderful example of God's creation. You will like the kikayon because it gave you pleasure. Because you had shade from it. Well, I'm getting shade, says the Abarbanel, God says, from Nineveh. I'm getting shade from them. I'm getting benefit from them. I am getting from Nineveh greatness, appreciation, 1,200,000 of people who now appreciate God. That is for God what shade is for you, Yonah. The important thing, concludes the Abarbanel, is Hineim Kain, Hoyo Hokel Yisporach Leninveh Kumoav. The relationship between God and Nineveh was God the Father and Nineveh the children. For Hoya Yonah el HaKikayon be'erech HaBen. And the relationship of Yonah and the Kikayon is the opposite. The Kikayon is the mother, the protecting, shade-giving mother, and Yonah is the son. Yonah is the Ben. And as the Abarbanel concludes, V'yodua sherachamei ho'av al HaBen. The pity and compassion that a father has to a child, that God has to Nineveh, is greater than the pity that a child has to a parent. And if you, Yonah, have pity on the parent, the nurturing parent of this shade tree, as a child, you're the child, I as the parent, the great father, the Avinu Malkeinu of Nineveh, have to have mercy on them. This is a powerful, powerful lesson and helps understand why we read this on Yom Kippur. That God's being the Av Shekulonu, our Father, Avinu Malkeinu, is ultimately the reason why He accepts and protects even a city which might not fully deserve it, like Nineveh, just out of His Rachamim. I would like to take this opportunity to close with a beautiful observation from Harav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Sichos Musar. Is to be found in the first section on page 97, page Satik Zion, of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's Musar Shmuzin. And he says an interesting thing. Look at the great Nisim that happened to Yonah. The fish swallowed him. He stayed alive in the fish, etc. And the whole chain of events was all a nes. And we can ask the question, if Yonah didn't want to listen to God, why did God take Yonah through all of this story with the ship, with the fish, etc.? Why didn't he just find himself another Navi who would be willing to go? And the answer is, just Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, because Yonah, by fleeing, was being Moser Nefesh. He was sacrificing himself on behalf of the Jewish people. He knew that Nineveh would do tshuva. He knew that the Jews would not. He knew that Nineveh was quick to repent and the Jews were stubborn and stiff-necked. And therefore, that's why he wanted to avoid going to Nineveh. So in doing that, his whole purpose was, in the words of Rav Shmulevitz, Shelo yehei kitrug al Yisrael, va'al yiktan erchom b'chol ha'olamos. He wanted that the Jewish people come out looking good, that they be not have to be reflected upon in comparison with others. And therefore, Yonah was on a very high madrega, a person who's willing to run away from God's message just on behalf of the Jewish people, and who's willing to sacrifice going into a storm and etc., that person deserves to be a shliach hamokom, and that's why God did not pick someone else, but bedafka picked Yonah. And Rav Shmuel Levitz concludes and says, imagine a person who didn't necessarily do anything positive for the Jewish people. He just went out of his way to avoid reflecting upon them negatively. If that person is rewarded with a second appearance by God, by Hidvar Hashem Elav Shenis Lemor, a second Nevuah, and God doesn't want to substitute another for him, but God wants to stick by him because he has this tremendous virtue of not doing anything which would reflect negatively on the Jewish people. So Rav Shmuel Levitz says, how much more so if a person does positive things for the Jewish people? Hamezakeh osam b'ma'asim tovim, a person who encourages Jews to do good deeds. U'betalmud Torah, a person who teaches the Jewish people Torah, which is, after all, keneged kulam. Alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, he has great, great zechusim and great, great merit. A beautiful lesson from Chaim Shmuel Levitz about Yonah, and a lesson to take with us as we finish this important sefer, and we happen to finish it just a few days before Yom Kippur of Shnas Tovshin Samach Tes, Habo Olenu Utovah.